Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
I want to talk about insurance. When you look at these folks that are doing things like they're saying the 1% and the 99%, and they're talking about Wall Street and these different things, obviously, if you've heard some interviews, what the people behind them that are asking them and paying them to be on the street, what they're saying is, they're saying that corporate world is the issue. Mm-hmm. But if you protest the CEO, you're missing it if it's your neighbor that actually owns the company. You know, if it's the stockholders, your neighbor. Mm-hmm. It's the portfolio. And these different names and all. But, you know, when they sell you, when somebody sells you an insurance policy, like a homeowner's insurance policy, for example, and because of all the hurricanes, based on what the department for the state of Florida have told me, is that insurance companies are trying to book it. They're trying to slide out of Florida because of the hurricanes that happened in Florida. And it's like, you know, you want to take our money, you know, mm-hmm. and have a lifelong commitment up until the time that you actually had to pay something. And it's like, how does this thing, what a brilliant business, right? Okay, I'm going to take your money and I'm going to tell you that we're going to cover you. We're going to cut, matter of fact, we'll run commercials, you know, little umbrellas and stuff, and it won't rain on you. It won't rain on you. Mm. But, and then you find out if it rains, we don't love you anymore.
All right.
We're out of here. And the state of Florida is having to insure people because insurance companies started dumping them and dropping them. But then we have companies that when they sell you a policy, it's so confusing and the writing is so small. And they just tell, and your agent tells you, you're covered. You're covered. Mm-hmm. We got you. You got fully, they give you that confident thing. Let me check it out. Mm-hmm. Aha. Mm-hmm. 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 You know, and then they go, yes, yeah, so you're full. You got enough, you know, got enough coverage or something was, you know, happen or whatever. Oh, and then something happens. And then something happens. You make a claim. And this is what the whole point. A claim means this. Okay, you're actually saying you buy a car, for example, and you give them the money for the car, and you have coffee over it. Oh, it's so cool. Oh, it's great. I just love my car dealer. He just gave me his car. And all of a sudden you show up, you say, okay, I'm coming to claim my car. And they look at you like, why do you want this car? What really happened? What do you mean what happened? Why don't I pay for the car? I'm coming to give a call. What's up? We were having a great relationship until I came to pick the car up. I'm serious.
All right.
It's amazing how good our relationship was and how good our relationship is until we come pick the car up. It's like, wasn't this all about the car? Remember, we were actually saying, hey, I might need this car, and so I'm going to give you this money. And if, in fact, I need the car, I'm going to come pick it up, okay? Oh, sure, yes. Oh, my goodness. That's what we're here for.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're here for. Just anytime. Don't you hesitate. We're going to get you a car, right? We're going to take care of you. The insurance company would be saying, I'm using an analogy here. And then you can pick it up, and all of a sudden you have, like, Vito from the mafia sitting here talking to you going, like, what's your problem? What's going on? I was like, did I do something wrong to you? I mean, what happened? This aggression that comes from some insurance agencies when you actually call them up and it's like, are you serious? Is that how you're talking to somebody that paid you for 20, 30, 40, 50 years? I'm telling you, in law enforcement, when I would go work a burglary, for example, and somebody broke into somebody's house and they stole a lawnmower and some other things, a television. And this lady, her husband has passed. She's in her 60s. Her and her husband paid this insurance company forever. I mean, forever. And she made a claim because of the theft. Somebody stole her stuff, so she made a claim. And the insurance company dropped her. Mm. I'm talking about she's in her 60s. And they dropped her. Wow. They dropped her, and she's in her 60s. And everybody in America goes, that's just business. Not in the eyes of God. You took her and her husband's money all the way up to the time she's in her 60s. A lousy, buy the lady a lawnmower and a TV or whatever it was. It was nothing. I know this. I took the report. I knew exactly what was taken from her. I know where it was taken. And I know the lady's personality. Just, she was in her late 60s. And she was actually real feeble because of things that she had gone through. And you just automatically pick the phone up and go, okay, I need that car. And you automatically just pick the phone up and go, I need to make a claim on my insurance. And they dropped her. There's people that are going for medical coverage that they paid for all their life, and they're being dropped just like that. And it's like, this is the moment I needed you. This is the moment I needed you. Mm. And there's people that have their homes that are protected. And all of a sudden they make the, and this is the moment, and then you're going to talk like that to this lady or to this man? The first conversation you have with them is a moment of aggression with psychology, guerrilla marketing concepts, and all that stuff you've been taught in your little satellite classes going into all your branches about how to fend off the possible people that you're going to have to pay. I mean, that's not how you do business. That's not, and as Christians, listen, as Christians, that's not what we do. We're not supposed to be a part of something like that. You got to be honest. Do you know where a lot of the money comes from that you borrow to go into your houses? It comes from insurance premiums, that money that you pay every month. They go out and lend that money out and make interest on it. That's where all that money. You could be paying your house as you're paying your mortgage. I mean, you could be paying twice. You're paying your insurance premium who, you know, takes that money, and then they loan that money out to your mortgage company, and the mortgage company pays for your mortgage, so now you're actually paying your insurance company. They're loaning it back to you, making money on it, while you're paying your mortgage company. It's like, I'm paying everybody here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, at the end of this, can I get my house? At the end of this, can I have a claim? And I'm just saying that maybe they don't have it all wrong. You know, maybe God is beginning to turn this nation upside down because of those kind of practices. If you don't believe God is a God of justness and how we do business, Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, talks continually about how unjust scales, unbalanced scales, things that don't weigh out right, that he's against it. He hates it. He hates business done that way. And how many Christians today say it's just business? It's like, that's not... 82% obviously ain't reading the word. You don't know. Let me tell you this. He hates that. Mm-hmm. He hates you taking advantage of people. And this is what he even says. He says this in his word. He says, I see this stuff in your life, in your house, that you got this way. I see the boat. I see the furniture. And this is what he says specifically. I see the belongings of the widow in your home. I see that. Ill-gotten gain. He's not okay with you robbing the widow woman by not paying her policy when she had a lawnmower or television stolen. It was time for you to pay, you know, a couple hundred dollars when she's paid you thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars over the last 50 some odd years or whatever it was. And it's like, you know, justice. Mm. Lord, we cry for justice. Yes. And so... we can't say, and I hear people, like, we got to have this capitalism. It's like, we got to have Jesus Christ. You know, and whatever business concepts come out of that, that's cool. But Jesus first, you know, business second in regards to that. Not business first and Jesus second.
Right.
Because that's just Jesus, by the way, not just business. And so you're seeing these things, and it's like, what does it come to? And then... you call your agent and say, because what they've done is they've divided the collections mentality of the person you're going to make the claim from the agent themselves. So you have the agent, the front guy, the front lady, that talks to the person like, oh, yeah, it's just so, oh, isn't that a beautiful color car? Oh, yeah, we're going to take care of you. And then when it comes down to it, they're going to tell you, the one that treated you so nice, they're going to say, oh, we don't handle that part. You're going to need to talk to the claims department. You know, and you call the claims department, they're like, rawr, rawr. It's like, it's like, oh my goodness. And they act like they're disconnected when it's like, no, same company, same title at the top of the paycheck right there. It's all the same. Everybody is the same. And by the way, and God knows it's the same. So I'm thinking, we're going to have to hold on here because I really sense that she's coming down. Mm. She's coming down. I mean, we're going to be humbled. And, you just can't treat people that way, and you can't sit back and watch people treated that way and think, even though you can sleep, that God never sleeps. He's constantly looking over the situation. And God is a just God. And you can stand up in your company and say, you know, we're just not going to do business like this. And by the way, the company was started by somebody who said, hey, I think I'm going to start a business, which means, if you are all that and that's what you want to do, start your own business and run your business with ethics. Run your business with morals. Run your business in the fear of God. Even if when somebody makes a claim, for example, it's going to be the last thing you do before you close your doors because you told them that you would. You told them that you would. At that point, that's when you say, okay, this is what I did. It's been a great run. We did the business. Let's pay it out and let's move on. Right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, we can't just automatically just say, hey, these guys that are saying, you know, the 99%, I mean, God cares about the widow. He cares about the people. We're supposed to care about them too. We're supposed to care about them too.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
All right, guys, admit it. You'd prefer to leave all the holiday planning and prep to your wife. This is John Fuller with Focus on the Family Minute. Dr. Greg Smalley suggests that you really ought to step up and pitch in.
And I know one of the things that Erin often says, I love it when you ask me what I can do to help, but she said it's very different though when you take initiative and you just jump in. Because in some ways, when I have to ask her constantly, what can I do to help? What do you need from me? It almost implies like, hey, this is really ultimately your responsibility. I'm just kind of here to help. You know, and it's great to have that attitude that I want to serve you, so ask each other. But also, I think for the guys, it goes a long ways when we just look around, find things to do, jump in, and get them done.
More advice from Greg Smalley on navigating the holidays today at focusonthefamily.com/radio.
I love VFN Radio. You know, I'm not saying it because I'm part of it, is the fact that I listen to it when I'm not on it because it's the Word of God. It's a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I encourage you to get a device, a radio or an something or and something, and put it on your desk at work and, you know, put it by the kitchen sink and just carry it with you or whatever and just listen. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Think about it, 24 hours, 7 days a week, all around the world, you can hear VFN Radio. And if you miss a segment that you just like catch a half of it,
mm-hmm.
don't be disappointed like it used to be. Oh, I'm just so disappointed. I'm sure the first part of that was good. You can actually go into the highlights or go to the VFN Torch, and you can hear the whole segment, the whole segment. And in addition to that, you can have podcasts downloaded into your devices, and podcasts are so cool because you can keep them forever in your own storage device. But be encouraged. Understand that this is very, very important because as the days progress, although it gets darker and darker in the outside for the church, for those who love God, it gets lighter and lighter. This is what the Word of God says. He says, your peace in the midst of chaos and trouble and disaster is a witness to those who don't know God. He says this is a witness to them, letting them know that you're going to be saved by God. God's going to protect you in it. But to them, it's a witness that they're going to be destroyed unless they know God, which is a witness. You're just having peace. And by listening to VFN Radio, you can keep that peace. You can keep that peace so you can be a witness. Sometimes your greatest witness is to sit beside somebody while they're watching the daily news and just relax and have a cup of coffee mm-hmm. while they're biting their fingernails. It's like, what? Mm-hmm. I mean, really mean it. You know, not, they aren't faking it. It's just like, mm-hmm. what?
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
You know, I think about, did I talk about this? I talked about this.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Let's find out.
Well, you know, it was, I feel really bad about it because I could have preached a great message of repentance. And instead I just said, I'm here.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm. You know, you don't have to worry about it. I was walking through a lightning storm.
Ooh.
Hitting each other on his water.
He's getting it down.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
I was wrestling though with the
whole
thing.
Two more words to do.
I was wrestling with the concept mm-hmm. of walking through it. Mm-hmm. Okay, I was wrestling with that. And I was thinking the statistics of possibly being struck by lightning.
Wow.
And besides,
wow, twice in one day. Wow.
And besides, I knew it wasn't a tournament. So, and I was listening to a miracle of God, you know, talking with somebody that was sharing a miracle of God. And it was dry and just beautiful weather at the beginning of the phone call. And by the end of the phone call, and I'm in my F-150 limousine. That's the same limousine. No, you have a... Never mind. So
yours is longer than mine.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm. Much longer.
You just got leather seats.
Right. Well.
Anyway, we won't talk about your limo. Anyway, so I don't have a driver. Anyway... And lightning is just popping and just crackling. And I did say, I got to say, I was weakened in my faith because I had those earbuds on for the iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
I did think, you know, if I am going to be hit.
At least you're grounded.
You know, I didn't want, there's no ground in my ears. Yeah.
You're grounded to your phone.
Yeah, I was grounded to my phone. I thought, I just don't want like burnt spots in my ears and lines going down my face. So I put it on speakerphone and I said, God forgive me for being weak in my moment of faith.
Oh my goodness.
I didn't mind dying. I just didn't want to die with just...
Wet marks. Okay.
Yeah, like Frankenstein things in my ears. Anyway, so then, so I'm walking with this little umbrella. I don't know. It's about 3 inches wide or something. And a little bit bigger than that. I just happen to be thick boned. And it's a little bit more difficult to cover me in a rainstorm. And all these grown folks were just... huddled up under the cover, the shelter there. And because they were like, oh, because it was bad. It was like, but if you've been in ministry long enough, you can walk slow in a thunderstorm. It doesn't bother you. And so I was walking along, seeing if God wanted to take me home. And and I come into the front door, door, for those in Jersey, a door. I went to the door. And opened up, there was even more folks huddled down there. But as soon as I opened the door, the lightning just like hit so hard. It was like it hit the ground outside this restaurant. And it was like, bam. And I just seized the moment. It was like, I'm like, bam. I walked in there, threw my hands up and said, I'm here. And these grown men were just huddled down with their hands over their faces looking like, I don't know, somebody appeared. And I thought, dear God. And then I laughed and walked on through them.
So what did you say when you walked in?
I said, I'm here. And they're going like this. Now they're all going like, they're going like this because it was just the big light was behind me.
Yeah.
Their whole life just shook and they're huddled out in fear that something was going to happen. And, but I had peace in the midst of all that. But I have to apologize. I did not preach the gospel. Instead, I used humor and said I was here and they were terrified. Wow. And I laughed and walked through the whole crowd. I thought, man, how much more effective would that have been if I just would have said, repent!
You know what? You can pray for another rainstorm, and
yeah,
hopefully you can redeem that opportunity.
You don't have to lately. They're like every five minutes, they're coming down.
Yeah, that's right.
My poor dog's learning how to swim. He never got in the pool before, but now he is just in the pool. So, but just having that peace that you can walk through thunderstorms. It's amazing to me people that believe in eternity are scared to go there.
Mm.
People who preach and talk to other people about salvation and eternal life are terrified at the probability that they almost went there. I'm like,
hello.
I was watching this particular awesome testimony of a lady that was being healed, And actually, she was healed by doctors who, you know, brought surgery. She went through all this chemo and everything. And she was just so relieved that she made it.
Mm.
But I got the question is, you made it for what? I mean, what are you going to do with this life? I mean, it's cool. I mean, I'm all for being healed because we believe lay hands on the sick and they're healed. And we tell people to go to the doctors and we see them healed and we celebrate it. But we're going to stand alone before God. Mm. You know, what are we going to do? Why? You know, and the thing is, so we could pour our life out for him, you know, and bring him glory. And hopefully get a chance today to talk about, you know, the revealing the glory of God. Revealing the glory of God. And that's what he's looking for, is for us to be able to bring him glory. So all these things going on, practice walking in the midst of danger, knowing that you are confident that God has protected you. Hence, you have a shield around you called the shield of faith, which angels back up because they're cooperating with your belief that you believe God will protect you. And people watch that and go, wow, totally amazing. But you're also comfortable with the fact that if the lightning struck me or didn't make it through this, you know, don't cry for me, Argentina. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to be in heaven. I'm going to be in heaven with God, to be absent for the body, to be present with the Lord.
Amen.
That's Ain't right. No grave going to hold me down, as the song said. And so don't run from death. Run to the chopping block if your time comes, like Paul did. But until then, understand you should be kind of caught in between the two. As long as I'm here, that's what Paul said, as long as I'm here, I'd rather be there. But as long as I'm here, as long as I'm here, I'm here for you, God.
Mm-hmm.
Every moment, every dime, every day, every minute, I lay it out for you. Why? Because I believe in eternity.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in eternity. Mm. Don't you believe in eternity? That's what we preach. That's the good news. The good news. He said, if Jesus has not been risen for the dead, Paul says, we've been lying about God.
That's right.
We've been lying about God. And that's a huge thing. And he said also, if he's not risen from the dead, that means if there is no resurrection from the dead, that means Jesus didn't raise from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
Which means for us, if that's true, we should be pitied more than anybody else. I don't care how good your life is, if you profess that you have this relationship with God, but you don't believe in the resurrection, and as if the resurrection never happened, you're only living for this life. But as Christians, we're living for eternity. This is premarital counseling, not marital, like fleshly marital, not that. I'm talking about being presented as the bride of Christ. You know, God is a spirit. And the understanding that, you know, listen, it's just so short. This time is so short to do something for him. Yeah. But we should be walking around in that tension continually. And if you walk around in the tension continually about, I want to be there, but as long as I'm here for you. But when I'm there, I'll be with you forever.
Mm-hmm.
Then you don't have no problem telling people about God. You don't have no problem because your mind's constantly on him. You're not running in fear and biting your last little piece of your fingernail left because of a storm. You're just going, this could be my moment.
Mm-hmm.
This could be my moment.
Mm-hmm.
This could be my moment. And when it wasn't your moment, you go, okay, I got some more time to do. You know, it just doesn't really, you're not giving up on life. You're giving into eternity.
Mm-hmm.
People say, well, you're just giving up. No. You're not giving up on life. You're giving into eternity. Understand that's what we got through Jesus Christ, to live with him forever, to rule and reign with him forever. Heaven is so big. Heaven is so big that it will. If you put it on earth, it would just crush earth.
Mm.
Heaven is so big, it would just crush earth. And it's so awesome that streets of gold and the light is God himself.
Mm.
You think about it. It's God himself. I mean, think about it. And he has these awesome trees in heaven, this river, the river of life that flows from the throne of God. That these trees, just the trees themselves, they have a leaf on them, and the leaf is for the healing of the nations. I mean, you could just eat a leaf and a nation can be healed.
Mm.
I mean, think about that. I mean, this God that we serve and that we love is in the center of all creation, and his throne is surrounded by an emerald rainbow. Lightning and thunder is just exploding continually out of his throne, and angels are proclaiming continually, worthy, worthy, worthy are you to receive all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. And this is not like a concept. It's true. He's holding it all together. Everything was made by him and for him, and nothing was made that was not made by him. He is holding all things together. All the glory is his. The question is, will you make Jesus the Lord of your life and get into eternity and understand what I'm talking about? And this God who has all of that praise and all of that glory and all of that ability created you in his image and his likeness so that he could have fellowship with you. The devil's been pounding you, saying, God don't love you. God don't like you. God's mad at you. Look what you've done now, etc. And God's going like, hey, look who I am. I am so, think what I did. I created heaven and earth, and the sea and the sky and the birds and the animals and the shrubs. And I created you in my likeness, in my image, so that I could have fellowship with you. And then when there was a fall in the garden and I lost that intimate relationship with you because of sin, I gave my own son to be in relationship with you. That's Jesus. Listen, this is a win-win for those who make Jesus the Lord of their life. Mm-hmm. It's time for the church, those who call themselves believers, to get caught up in eternity. Get caught up in the tension, the excitement of I'm going to go be with him, and also the excitement that I could do for him while I'm here. Think about it. Just that tension between, oh my goodness, I could do one more thing for him before this time, this season of my existence is over before I enter into eternal life. So I can have a crown of glory, a crown of righteousness, not for me to wear, so that when the cherubim, when the four living creatures begin to proclaim the glory of God and the elders get off their thrones and take their crowns and lay them at their feet, that you'll have a crown too that you can lay at his feet that brings him the glory. You're bringing glory to him. Mm-hmm. Glory to God in the highest. I mean, it is his glory, but the question is, will you give it to him? Will you give this life that he's given you in a way to bring glory to him so when he brings you into eternity, you have something to offer him? God offered you a son. Then he offered you a span of life. And now he's sitting here. He picked the time, the season, the place, the address, and everything about you where you would live. Just seeing. As he says in Acts 17, if you would reach out to him and touch him, though he's not far from you. Listen, God's got a plan for your life. This is really an exciting, awesome thing. The creator of the universe loves you and has a plan for your life. It's time to get in.
Oh my goodness, aunties. Listen, if you're looking for some barbecue, you got to go get some ribs, some pulled pork, and so much more in Cantonment. You don't want to miss it. Highway 29th and go north and let your nose lead you the way. Brunson Air and Heating in Mobile. They can do all of your service work quick and efficient. Give them a call today. Brunson Air and Heating. You'll be glad that you did. Just Fish and Grits. If you're in the mood for some good southern cooking, visit Just Fish and Grits today to dine in or to take out. You can have your meal on the go. It is good. Contact ADTS Security and Alarm Monitoring. If you want to secure your home or your business, contact them today for all of your security needs. Cameras, monitoring, and even medical pendants. Do it today. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Amy Simple McPherson. I'm thinking about Amy Simple McPherson because, you know, she's one of God's generals, and she was used powerfully by God. I believe the Angelus Theater comes from
her ministry, the Four Square Church, just so many things have happened in her ministry. A lot of the Pentecostal charismatic, which is probably the biggest, mm-hmm. happening move in the world, the earth today.
Right.
But I remember she was, she thought at one time in her life and her ministry, she just stopped. Mm-hmm. She stopped and she figured she was just going to get married and do the typical, everyday thing. And then God began to deal with her heart. He began to deal with her heart because she stepped outside of her call. She tried to just divert it. And I like what Brother Ken Summerall, says. You can't stay in that too long because the Holy Spirit won't let you do that in that situation when you're walking away from God. And so she tried to appease the Holy Spirit by, saying, I'm going to teach Sunday school.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good to sit down and learn the things of God, even if you have to do it on Sunday at 3 a.m. in the morning. I mean, ever how you can learn is good.
Right.
And sometimes Sunday school gets a bad rap. It could be a Saturday school and a Wednesday school, too. That's not wrong. And it could be a 7 o'clock at night school.
Right.
Anyway, so with that, she just resisted and resisted the Holy Spirit. And she was laying on the operating table. And she was about to take her last breath because it just overtook her body. She just couldn't take it no more.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And suddenly, mm-hmm. Like the roar of thunder,
mm-hmm.
She'd made a decision that she was holding back on. And she said, with the last piece of breath of her body, she said, okay, God, okay, I'll go. Right. I'll do what you told me to do. And as soon as she did that, it totally lifted from her.
Mm-hmm.
And she made things right with God and she began and continued her ministry, what we know her ministry today.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I was actually, being called by God to the next season of ministry, which was deeper. I didn't understand. I was a person that would just do something for God.
Mm-hmm.
I would just do something. What do you want? I'll do it. I'll do it. And then I'll hand it over to somebody else.
Yeah.
And I would do it and I hand it over to somebody else. And I'd do it and I hand it over to somebody else. And then all of a sudden one day God said, don't. And then I started taking more responsibility. But then one day it was like, no matter what I did for God, He wanted more, I thought. I was like, what do you want? I could just feel Him compelling me and impressing on me. And I just didn't know what it was. And finally, I was in my office, Pat.
Mm-hmm.
I was in my office. I'll never forget this, years ago. And I took my fist and punched the bookshelf.
Wow.
Can't do that today. It would probably break my head.
Because
I was so frustrated. Mm-hmm. I'm like, because I loved God. I was doing for God.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, what do you want from me anyway?
Right.
Yeah. And then plain as day, the Lord says, you. Think about it. It was me that He wanted.
Mm-hmm.
I kept on trying to do and do for Him.
Mm-hmm.
But He wanted me. He wanted all of me. It didn't matter what I was doing. It didn't satisfy. He wanted me, which is pretty awesome.
Wow.
It makes me think of Peter Wagner and Steve Hill, when they're talking about, some people need different experiences. That was my experience.
Right.
But listen to this. You got to hear this. I'll be right back with you.
That's what happened. Let me just ask you.
We need more people swallowed by whales like Jonah. He was going to take it from Jonah, but Jonah learned his lesson.
He learned his lesson, and I think revival came out of all
that's
that.
That's right.
And so sometimes, and that's a, some people need that, by the way. Some people need Saul of Tarsus experiences, okay, which he needed. He was on his way to really hurt some people, okay? And he needed to have an encounter. Some people need encounters with God that are violent, and other people need, like, Lydia experiences, just, kind. She was a seller of purple cloth and just became a believer. And so if God passes the ball to China, it's because China's going, and India, India, we go there, and my goodness. It's like you go, stop. They want to run the cross so quick. They want a part.
We had one lady named Leanna in India. We commissioned her an apostle 3 years ago. And this is with Jayan's network. And at that time, one of the reasons we commissioned her, because she was outstanding. She had planted 3,000 churches in North India. Last week, Jayan told those of us who are on his board that she has now planted 5,000, 2,000 churches in 2 or 3 years by a woman apostle We need a few of those here in America.
I lived, you know, you speak Spanish. I speak Spanish. Oh, you lived in, was it Bolivia?
Bolivia.
We think about that. We lived in Argentina. Over 3,000 churches. Mm-hmm. She planted over 3,000 churches. But, you know, just like Jonah, just like others, you know, sometimes you're going to have an, listen, there's more experiences to get your attention, but why go to another one? Maybe this very conversation that we're having now, you can just go, aha, that's mm-hmm. what that is. What does God want from me anyway? He has a plan for your life. He loves you. He can restore you. He can use you. And yes, whatever it took to get you to this point, so be it. Take it to the cross like Amy did and just say, here I am, God. You know, and just like Catherine Kuhlman said, she walked to the end of a road one day in her life when everything was coming to the end of itself. She says, all I have is my love, but I'll give it all to you. I give it all to you. If that's you right now, listen, this is for you. Vine Fellowship Network, just like Cheon's network, Vine Fellowship Network is a network. It's a rapid church planting a movement, a wave that is beginning to wash across the land. You want to be a part of it? You can go to VFN Family, VFNFamily.org, VFNFamily.org, and find out more about it. You can be trained up and discipled and launched. It's time for us to do what he tells us to do, to be a doer of the word. VFNFamily.org.
So it's so important to know where you're at. It's just so important to know where you're at. Some people know where they're at, and you're thinking, because they don't know where they're at. So you're looking, I guess they don't know they're there. And so then it reminds me when I went to Rome, and we landed in the airport in Rome, and needless to say, they didn't understand my accent in Rome, my southern accent. And so we had such a huge layover. We're going to go get in this car, and we're going to rent a car. We're not going to take a taxi drive like a sane person would in the country you don't know, who actually knows where they're going. No, they felt light because they didn't speak the language that they were going to take control of themselves, and they were going to get in the car, and we were going to go sightsee in Rome in a couple hours. 7 hours later, we're trying to find ourselves. We found Caesar, I think. Well, and we had this map, and they kept looking on this map. They're trying to find yourself, but it wasn't written in English. So you're looking for, like, I don't know, statues and stuff, you know, and there's a lot of statues there. But there was this huge Ferris wheel. I mean, it was like just one big, huge wheel. And I was riding in the back seat, observing, going, they don't know where they're at. And so they look at the map, and they kept on trying to find the Ferris wheel on the map, kept trying to find the Ferris wheel on the map. And these guys were not really, you know, highly energetic about resolving things. You know, I'm a leader type person, like, let's get it solved. Come on, And so we end up driving past this Ferris wheel, I don't know, 15 times. And I'm like, I can't see this thing no more. We got to resolve this issue, you know? And I'm like, give me the map. You know, and so I get the map and I'm looking, I'm like, oh, this is all Italian. And I'm looking, I can't find the Ferris wheel on there. So I finally just said, pull this little Fiat looking little thing over we had rented. And I folded myself out of the car. I walked up to these soldiers that were over in the hood of their car, you know. And they were Italian soldiers, go figure. But I know what laughter in Italian sounds like. Anyway, so I work my way up the hill. I fold out the map. And I look at these guys like, where are we? You know, and they look at me and they look back and they look at the little dinky car and they look back at me and look at them and they go, in Italian, they went, ha, 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 ha. And I'm like, point it where I'm at. And finally, they got enough English to go, you're not on this map. This map is not even, this is not, the Ferris wheel, because this is another map for some other part of Rome. I'm like, we've been looking at a map, and we didn't even know where we were. Isn't that stupid? That's the American church. I read 2 chapters a day. I tell everybody I do read 2 chapters a day. I go to church at least twice. I'm at every Easter. And I watch Christian television as long as I can take it until I go back to my dark stuff. Don't even know where they're at. you know, for me, I'm like, I got to resolve this issue. I'm not going to look at this Ferris wheel. I'm like, I got to get off this thing. And that's what this pastor did. This pastor said, I'm not going to go one more service trying to convince people who live in darkness to enter into the light. I'm out of here. I'm firing myself, he said. I'm firing myself. And you think about it, the Word of God is a lamp unto our feet. In other words, as soon as you show up with the Word of God and you're reading, you're going like, whoa, I'm right here by the Ferris wheel. I know where I'm at. It might not be good, but praise God, at least I know where I'm at. You can't go nowhere if you don't know where you're at. You can drive around like, isn't that the same Ferris wheel? Isn't that the same relationship problem I had before? Isn't that the same job situation? Isn't that the same, you know what I'm saying? It's sometimes just like the insanity, right? It's like, got to get off this thing. And so the Word of God is so important. The reason why the enemy does not want you to read the Word is because the Word of God is the light of God. It's God speaking to you. And what's going to happen, he's going to like, it's a big bright light is going to shine on you. You're going to find that you're not even on that map at all. And you got to get back in and go, I was being very religious and I was like had latitudes and longitudes going on. I was talking all this religious talk, but the truth is I didn't even know Jesus. But at least I knew I didn't know him now. Because somebody told me I knew him, but I wasn't having the same fruit in my life. And they really confused me because they said I said a prayer, but I walked away and I'm doing the same darkness I did and not even convicted for it.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
We are going to go to back to the original tent of America. And it's the second five questions from the citizenship test. So we're going to find out. We're going to ask you, John and Pat. We are going into the next questions. Y'all did pretty well. Y'all still get to remain citizens of America. We have 100 of these, and we're going to do five of them today. We had five yesterday. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you know, Pat was complaining that, you know, John, you got all the easy ones, and he got the hard ones. But in case you missed what was yesterday, it was a very powerful. You know, understanding, you know, what is the supreme law of the land? Think about it. What do we operate by? Mm-hmm. It's the United States Constitution. And when people talk about messing with the Constitution, talking about messing with the supreme law of the land, our operating system. Mm-hmm. And if you have a computer, you know when your operating system gets messed up, everything gets messed up. Mm-hmm. And we don't want anybody messing with the Constitution. The next was, you know, what does the Constitution do? You know, it's very, very important because a lot of people don't realize what it does.
Right.
They're looking at what it does, but they don't realize that's where it came from. Well, it sets up the government, it defines the government, and it protects basic rights of us citizens, the citizens of America. And the idea of self-government is in the first three words of the Constitution. We ask, you know, what were they? And, of course, it's we, the people. We, mm-hmm. the people, are the first three words of the preamble of the Constitution of the United States. It's awesome, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
Mm-hmm. And so we have to participate in government, and if we want to keep it, we have to participate in it. And the next was, you know, what is an amendment? Amendment is a change to the Constitution, an addition to the Constitution. So first you had the Constitution, then they started making changes to it or additions to it. But there's the Constitution sets up how that happens. So you can't mm-hmm. just mm-hmm. do it. You know, there has to be a major majority of people that do that. And finally, is what do you call the first 10 amendments to the Constitution? And of course, that is called the Bill of Rights. A lot of people look at the Constitution and say, I'm trying to find the Bill of Rights. What it actually is the Constitution is the first 10 amendments.
Mm-hmm.
It's where our rights come from. So now here we are. We are in the next question that you guys don't. So we're going to give you a time when you're ready to answer the question to say you're ready. So you'll hear music just like this.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, if you get it wrong, it's going to sound something like this. Right. Which also means that could
he's
be.
He's got a lot of time on his hands.
Yeah. And of course, if you get it right, you know, all the audience is going to be cheering you on right here. But understand this. Mm-hmm. That you may have to pack your luggage. And we will self deport you. We'll self deport you. That is a GOP word they don't use anymore.
All right.
Yeah, exactly. No more.
It's like, we need to rethink this self deport thing. Yeah. You read the Bible. We should actually take care of the alien. We just got to get them to connect to the supreme law of the land. Quit messing with the supreme law of the land. Teach them. I mean, they're learning it here in the citizenship. Maybe Congress needs to take this test.
Yeah, right.
You know what I'm saying? But right now, Pat and John's going to take it. So here we are. Here is question number 6 on the American citizenship test. What is one right or freedom? This is Pat. This is directed to you, Pat.
Mm-hmm.
What is one, just one, right or freedom from the First Amendment to the Constitution? Give us one right or one freedom. I just want to let you think about it a little bit and just let us know when you're ready. No, you can't Google it. Don't Google it.
Okay.
All right, Pat. Here it is. What is one?
Okay.
One right that you get from the First Amendment, which is in the change, right, to the Constitution.
Mm-hmm. Right.
What is one of them?
Freedom of religion.
Very good. Oh, my goodness. Hey, it's totally wonderful. You get to stay in the United States of America. So far.
Did you Google up there?
I was trying to. He had to stop him from trying to Google. He was like
Googled up.
He was on his iPhone trying to look up stuff and everything, and he didn't realize it was sitting right in front of him in a little book called the Constitution.
I saw that.
He's like,
I saw.
You looked?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay, John. Here
I restrained myself.
Question number two. Question number two of today's questions from the citizenship. Look at he's looking all down. Hey, what are you working on? Get your hands off
your
keyboard.
Get your head up.
Hands on the steering wheel, sir. Hands on the steering wheel. Okay, here it is. I want you to be thinking about it after I ask you. Don't just jump in because I want to know your final answer, okay? How many amendments does the Constitution have? All right, you got the answer? Wait. Okay, let us know.
I think I got it. I'm not sure.
All right.
19.
Start packing, bro.
Oh, my goodness.
I wasn't Googled up.
No. It's actually, think about it, 27 amendments.
I was going to say that.
That was my second choice.
Excuse the punch. The punch just happened.
That was my second.
It's amazing.
So that was one of the numbers that came to mind.
Yeah. 27, but think about it, for 230 years or whatever, that there's only been 27 changes or additions to, and some of those changes were undoing changes. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It was fixing past ones. That's powerful, powerful document.
That's good.
That's a few words. I wish the healthcare bill was that small, right?
Yeah, right.
Ooh.
Well, you think about it. So, obviously, John, you need to go ahead and start packing things up. I know that. You know, Puerto Rico is a territory, right? It's not.
It's a territory.
So you're going to have to find, it can't go there. You got to find some particular place outside of America. I was thinking more like, you know, Nepal or something of that nature right there. Okay, the next question. The next question from the citizenship test of the Constitution of the United States is going to go to Pat. I don't know. I guess you can watch the Saints on satellite, you know, from Nepal or something like that. But here it is. I want you to take your time and think about it. Don't just jump on it because this could cost you, you know, your house and everything in America. Mm-hmm. And Tracy's going to be really upset about that. What did the Declaration of Independence do? I want you to think about this. Think about it. What did the Declaration of Independence do? Da, 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 da. Bop. Hello?
I'm here. He's giving us some time.
All right.
Okay, I think I'm ready.
What did the Declaration... He was looking at the Google in his forehead. You know how he closes his eyes? He's got this like eyeball on his head. He was looking past all the hot sauce.
Yeah, I was searching my RAM.
The slap your mama hot sauce. He was looking past that. He messes his ability to think up. So what did... The question is, Pat, what did the Declaration of Independence do?
All right. They declared their independence from the motherland, England.
Hey! Oh, my goodness. Congratulations. Oh, my goodness. Yes. It actually announced our independence from Great Britain, declared our independence as well, and said the United States is free from Great Britain. So when you're looking at Great Britain today, because it's been so long, you might not know this. When you're watching, you know, C-SPAN and watching the Parliament talk, realize that was part of us and our history there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I don't know if you were watched the Olympics, but when you watch the Olympics, and we were part of all that, you know, prior to the American Revolution that took place. But we separated ourselves. It just says then there comes a time Mm-hmm. When the only thing you can do that's right is separate yourself from what is to establish mm-hmm. what will be. Mm-hmm. And that's what, you know, when you listen to, go back to original intent in the VFN Torch and just listen to George Washington's story. Mm-hmm. I mean, awesome man. And he was, there's a reason why he's on every dollar bill. He's not mm-hmm. what today's people say he is. I mean, he's a man of integrity that said this is not right. And he stood up and fought for it and led people. It's just amazing. You can find that on the VFN Torch. Okay, now question number 9. This is going to have this one more. It's going to go to John, right? Mm-hmm. John, here it goes. Are you ready? Mm-hmm. Are you ready for this? I'll make sure it's going to be your final answer. Then, what are two rights in, I'm not talking about every one of them. What are two rights in the Declaration of Independence? What are two rights in the Declaration of Independence? Here we go.
You said in the Declaration of Independence?
Yes, John.
I think we're going to run out of music here.
What are two rights in the Declaration of Independence? Okay. What are two rights in the Declaration of Independence?
All right. So it's getting a little bit tossed back and forth with the Bill of Rights. I had to clarify. I gotta get my thinking cap on. Declaration of Independence, two rights. One was to freedom to serve God the way they want to serve God. Yes! Finish. Hold on.
What's another one? That one's wrong. Get a chance for another one.
Declaration of Independence.
They yes.
Have representative government. Pat, you got the book here.
Let's think about it. You know, Will Smith made a movie about this particular man that he believed in the Declaration of Independence. What was the name of that movie? Pursuit of Happiness. You have the rights we have in the Declaration of Independence is life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Oh, wow.
Hey! Oh my goodness! You need to go ahead and just get good quick tickets on your Google. Google. That's two. That is two. And I don't know, Nepal.
Well, would you visit me?
Iran? We can Skype. We can Skype from Iran. You know,
there you go.
Iran right there.
Yeah,
right. I'm talking to the Ayatollah this morning. VFN Radio. I'm out of breath as I'm running for my life. You know.
Right.
Okay, Pat. This is the final question for today. Under the original intent of America, John, that's too wrong. We got to figure this out. We got 100 total, and obviously we're not going to do it today. We're just going to do this next one. What is freedom of religion? Think about it. What is religious freedom? Here we go. This is your final answer. What is freedom of the religion?
Well, it's part of the First Amendment, but it's freedom to worship God the way you want to.
Yeah. That's very good.
I'm sensing some softball questions over there. Yeah. I'm sensing some, you know.
Everybody quiet down a bit. Listen. You can practice any religion or not practice a religion.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's so important, because when somebody tells you mm-hmm. that this is the way God tells you to live your life.
Yeah.
And that's why they made such a big stand when the healthcare bill, when they're talking about they're going to force Catholics who believe in, who follow Jesus mm-hmm. and what the Bible says about, you know, all life matters
mm-hmm.
and saying that they're going to violate their constitutional rights when they say you can't follow or practice your religion. We're going to change that and say you're going to have to pay for insurance that will allow your employees to abort children, which is against their religious beliefs. And so that's why it's a constitutional matter. Because remember, it's our supreme law. The Constitution is our supreme law. And not only is it our supreme law, but each of us as individuals have those constitutional rights. And so when somebody is telling you that you can't worship God that way, and there's a big one going on right now about raising children and how parents want to raise their children, the government's getting all into that. And they're violating people's constitutional right by saying that, you know, children have some constitutional right, you know, because they're not wanting to walk in as their parents walk in the faith towards God. And so we're finding out right now. And you guys, it's overall, you did a good job.
Thank you.
I'm really concerned. We need to keep that up on the board right here. It's too wrong for John. And if anybody wants to donate any luggage or has any boarding passes or stuff like that, we still, because it's a very, very small world. You know, we got
friends, huh?
Yeah, we can Skype. You need to go ahead and talk to
Avi. Set me up with Avi over there in Israel.
That's a pretty cool place. It's a pretty cool place. It has a lot of windy moments as missiles flying over your head. But isn't that something to think about it? You know, we're done with that. But think about it. That's what we do. You know, this is what people who do to become an American citizen. These are things, questions that they're asked and they have to know. The question is to me is like, why does our president and our Senate and our Congress forget about these things? You know, and all we got to do, we want people to come to America. That's the strength of America. But we want you also to connect and be loyal to the supreme law of the land. And we want you to know it and forgive us for not knowing it. But we're learning it again or for the first time. And we were going to be loyal to it as well. Mm-hmm. Because you swear an oath that you will protect and defend the Constitution of the United States, which is the supreme law, from enemies foreign and domestic. So we can all get along if we all agree to the supreme law of the land of the Constitution, which is a brilliant, brilliant document that was put together by our founding fathers right there. Did a wonderful job.
For your sewing and sewing machines, contact Sue, the sewing specialist, at All About Sewing, your sewing superstore in Mobile, Alabama. Don't forget to contact her at 251-634-3133. It's All About Sewing with Sue. Blue Angel Hot Tubs, Pools, and Spas. Contact Joyce today if you're looking to make that addition to the home. They have a wide selection of hot tubs, and the price is right. They even ship nationwide. Give them a call today. Taqueria Ogies, authentic Mexican food. They're coming all over the Gulf Coast for some. Come get some today. Spicy, hot, and delicious. Your plate is next. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.